First Samuel, we want to just read a couple of verses in chapter 2, then we'll skip over to chapter 7 and read 2 verses. And we'll give you the key phrase we're going to see in both these readings, chapter 2 and chapter 7, is from year to year. As we start this new year, thought we would find something, some way to focus on the new year. 2 Samuel chapter 2, beginning verse number 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." And then we skip over to chapter 7, verse number 15. Samuel grew up, and the scripture says, "And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel," skipping a bit, "and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Many Christians, not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, but even millions, particularly in China and other places, await Bibles. And we take for granted that we hold a Bible in our hand. We do pray for those dear souls that you will get Bibles to them. And Father, we just pray now you bless the reading of your word and the exploring of your word as we look into this New Year's message. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Samuel's mother, Hannah, went through a familiar cycle every year. You know, she missed her little firstborn boy, Samuel, or Shmuel in Hebrew. Shmuel is even the little nickname. Who knows what she nicknamed him, but she must have really missed him. But every year she would go up, and you see the picture on the front cover of the bulletin, she would go to take him a new coat, because kids grow, you know, all the way to the first 16, 18 years of their life. So we just don't know how many years she actually made a coat and brought to him. Probably 16 years. He might could wear it, she probably made it a little big, you know, so, but it says year to year. So maybe she made it fit just right so it wasn't too big and baggy. You know, but every year she had to work on a coat and bring to him. And it must have been heartbreaking to say goodbye to him. You know, it was one thing, it's so exciting to go see that little fella. But, you know, it must have really been difficult to say goodbye and head back home. But her consolation was she had five more children, some boys and girls. She just had to trust God for her firstborn son. And you know, as we look in this new year, we realize that we have to trust God with our loved ones, whether you know, children or parents. And she could trust God. And if Hannah could trust God to completely give away her firstborn son like that and leave him in good hands, we can trust God to do the same. Little Samuel, you know, he was a golden child, and he understood that God had a plan for his life. But he had this year-to-year cycle that began from age 3, when his mother first left him at the temple and said bye-bye. And then he had to do every year, over and over again, he got to see Ema in Hebrew, or mummy, and greet her and spend a little time with her, perhaps 2 or 3 days. You know, they came up for a festival, and they came and perhaps made tabernacles and camped around the edges, or found tents or whatever to dwell in. But she didn't get to see him for long. Then she had this cycle, or he had this cycle again, of saying goodbye to his mother, saying goodbye to his family. Every year, you know, bringing up a new little baby, a brother or sister, here's your new brother or sister. And this cycle he went through from year to year, year after year, from age 3. And it's funny enough when we get to when he was an adult, how the scripture says that he went from year to year in a circuit, judging Israel. And what he would do is hear court cases and hear difficult matters that the local magistrates couldn't settle. And so even in his adult life, he had this year after year a pattern. For Samuel, it was the same thing over and over again, year after year. The same old cities, the same old places. It was the same old, same old. You know, it says he judged Israel up, you know, all his life, which means even in those late, late years. And, you know, maybe he wanted something different. It doesn't tell us that Samuel ever got married, that he had children. He had, well, he did have sons. That's right. He had at least two. And they actually didn't do too good. They became judges as well. But the upside for Samuel was that it was God's will for him to do this, to go through this cycle year after year. So you kind of look at this from his childhood all the way through into his late adult year of this cycle of doing the same thing over and over again. But he had a freshness with God, and he had a communion with God. And many times as we do the same things over and over again, year in and year out, if we don't bring God into the equation, it can be a dismal outlook. I was even in Bible college, and I remember one January came around, and for about 2 weeks, I was the first and last time I've ever been depressed for more than a day. And it lasted for about 2 weeks, and I didn't know when it would lift. But I knew all along it had something to do with the new year, and I'm looking down the road when it was all scheduled for me. 4 years of Bible college, I don't know if this happened in year two or year three, but it wasn't like I was dreading anything. It was just like the whole year was way in front of me, and I didn't know, you know, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see little chapters along the way, and it became sort of a depressing thought that all I've got is today. And maybe part of that dread or depression was that we think this year is going to be just like last year, and last year wasn't that great, and this year is not going to be that great. And we can have a dismal outlook, but we shouldn't be like that. We'll come across some solutions in a moment. But Samuel, he had enjoyed the wonder years of growing up in the tabernacle under the protective wings of Eli and Yahweh, and he was just in a serene environment, but he must have been lonely at times. But it was his job to simply continue being faithful in what he was instructed to do from year to year. His mother at year three gave him to the temple. He could speak. She says, "You're going to live for God. You're going to live in the presence of God." Imagine that, being able to go in the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and being close to that veiled presence of God. And there's always pluses and minuses in the Christian life. You know, it's not all roses, is it? There's some thorns along the way. But that makes us appreciate the more positive side as well. Now, as we enter into a new year, you may feel like everything is the same old thing. Same thing as it's always been. The same old town, the neighbor's same old frown. I have one of those next door. The same old places, the same old faces, the same old work, and perhaps the same old church. But you don't have to worry about the same old preacher this year. We've got another one coming on. 40-year-old guy, Ozzy, full of zeal. He's nothing but likable. You're going to love him, and he'll be bringing messages too. So that will be a help to me and a help to all those. It'll be a blessing. I know you're going to like him, Craig. He'll be along here the third week of this month. You don't have to feel like it's going to be the same old thing this year. What we need is just a fresh outlook, and we need a facelift. And yes, who is it? We say that famous prayer in the end of in the Torah, end of Numbers, or I think it's Numbers chapter 6, the end of the chapter. The Lord lift up His face upon you. The Lord smile upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Is that we get a facelift from looking at God's face. We can be dreary on January the 1st. We can be dreary any time throughout the year. We're emotional people. Thank God we're not all melancholy like myself. But we can have a downward look. But God wants to lift our face up, and that's why Paul or the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills." You have to lift up your face to look up to heaven. But listen to Psalm 118 verse 24. This is the day. You could also say, this is the year which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So the key is to rejoice even in your circumstances. We read about Brother Lewis there going in that Islamic town. It could have been very, very bad, but it turned out to be extremely good. And Muslims received Bibles, and one received salvation, received the free gift. God is in the circumstances changing business, but He may not change your circumstances. But what He's always interested in is changing you. That's all He wants, is to change us. Circumstances really don't matter. In fact, God likes working with stumbling stones, stumbling blocks, and He uses those to build with. We just watched little Reuben, just been walking a couple of weeks, and he's improved in a week, and he just took a little fall earlier today. But what did he do? He didn't cry or look sad. He looked around like, this comes with walking, doesn't it? Falling? I mean, I don't like this, but this comes with the territory. And he got back up and started walking again. So you cannot feed on the circumstances, because they will zap the strength out of it. You have to look to where your help comes from, and let your, and give yourself a facelift, look up. Don't just look forward, look up to the heavens. So this year you may not be able to change one of your circumstances or change yourself or one person for the better, but you may not even succeed at persuading one to bow the knee to Jesus. But you can try and must try at all costs, by all means, to stay on the firing line. That's all that God asks for us, is just to keep at it. Don't give up. Don't back up. Don't quit. He just doesn't, because once you start doing that, slack up, and you don't do your Bible reading like you ought to as much, you can slack up in other areas. But it's easy. Quitting is the easiest thing to do. And we got Bible reading schedules over there. We meant to have them in the bulletin, but and it's, sometimes it's fun. You know, you get 2 days behind your reading, you have to catch up, and as you're catching up, you're just amazed at what all's in this Bible, and you go, wow, I shouldn't have missed yesterday. Yeah, because it is really an amazing thing, but it's probably the most incredible journey you will go on all year long, is your journey through the Bible. It is an exciting one. And New Year's resolutions come about naturally as people try to find new motivation to change their outlook on life. And the Bible doesn't speak good or bad for personal resolutions. But you can make a resolution or promise to yourself any day of the year, and you can keep it or break it. But when we make resolutions to God, that's a different story. And they're not to be taken lightly, vows made to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 tells us not to be hasty in our hearts to utter anything before God. And it's better not to make a vow to God than to make it and not fulfill it. And Hannah made her vow, if you'll give me a son, I'll give my son, and he can be yours. And she had little Samuel. And after 3 years, she gave him to the tabernacle. And he lived there. And you know, every year when she went to see him, she really wanted to bring that little package back home with her. But she had resolved in her heart from the very beginning that, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And so you have to just lock that in and not back up, because backing up is such an easy thing to do. But we need to be careful in not making our vows to God. One thing is a personal vow, but the vow to God becomes a whole different story. But that doesn't mean that we should exclude God from making personal resolutions. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. So I was having a low blood sugar moment right in, after the first song, and I went and ate a little bit of fruit, and I had a little box of these sugar pills Rioni gave me months and months ago, and I ate about 4 of those things, and I'm good now. You know, I couldn't even stand for one of the songs. So God is the one that strengthens us literally in our bodies and in our spirits. So we need to keep Him involved in our resolutions, as we're going to talk about. This might be the longest introduction I've ever brought, but the body of it, we'll speed through it a little bit. For the most part, the vast majority of New Year's resolutions, even among Christians, tend to lean towards the physical side rather than making spiritual decisions. But it shouldn't be like that. Some people don't like making New Year's resolutions, but since no one is perfect, resolutions are necessary to resolve our imperfections. resolutions, they don't have to be at the new year. They can be any time. They're a very good thing because you're seeking to resolve your imperfections. You see where you personally have room for improvement. And we all don't need to make improvement in the same areas. We're all different. But when we make resolutions, we need to have the right motivation for starting or stopping an activity. Like, if we read our Bible, is it just because we've heard it's a good thing to do, or someone said that they put that expectation on us, or is it to learn more about God and honor Him? And if we want to lose more weight, is it so that we can fit into more trendy clothes or impress other people, or is it because we want to honor God with our bodies? So we have to look at the motivation for why we do what we do. And it's important to know that if God is at the center of your New Year's resolution, you have a great chance of success. And if it's His will for something to be fulfilled, He will enable you to do it. So if our resolution is not God-honoring or is not in agreement with His Word, we will not succeed. But if we have confidence when we approach the Heavenly Father and we ask according to His will, we know that He'll hear us. We know that He'll help us. We know that He'll help us do that. So let's look at some suggestions that will help us meet with success whatever your resolution may be. First, ask the Lord for wisdom in regards to what resolutions are needed in your life. Because, see, we may think, oh, I need to do more in this area or less in this area. But He knows what we need. He knows what He wants to accomplish in our lives. Isn't that the good thing? We seek Him for what He wants to do in our lives. So we need to pray about what God has planned for us and be willing to walk by faith and obedience as we follow His leading. If we ask for wisdom, He's going to give us wisdom. And His plans for us are good and not for evil. You think about that flat tire that they had, that Lewis had. Flat tire, where do they have it? It would not be a place where you would want to have the flat tire. Yet that's where God ordained, and He led him to the right mechanic. And those people were very receptive to the gospel message, to Bibles. He's got a good plan for us. He's got a future for us, and He's got a future for other people as we'll be involved in their lives. God always has a purpose for what we will experience. We may not like what we experience. It's not always fun, the things we go through. But He can work His plan through it. He has a reason for what He allows in our life. And we find ourselves asking God that question sometimes. Why did you let this happen? And you don't hear an answer. But as time goes by, and sometimes that time can elapse, it can be a long time, God brings an answer. We need to rejoice what He allows in our life. It's one thing just to not grudgingly, or but just to passively just accept it. But we ought to rejoice in the thing that God's allowed in our life. You know, Paul prayed three times for God to take this whatever bodily that thorn in the flesh, that irritating thing, whatever it was, and God didn't remove it. He must have found a great peace in that, that at least he didn't have to agonize it anymore. He just had learned to live with it. And we sometimes need to learn to live with what God allows in our life, and we'll be somewhat happier. If we're always thinking, I'll be happier when God changes my circumstances, then the meanwhile we're not happy until it happens. So we just need to be happy whether God changes it or not, no matter how long we have to wait on it, and once again not be bound by our circumstances. That's the easiest thing to do. Then also ask God how to show you how to fulfill the goals He has for you, the short-term goals as well as the long-term goals. But if possible, find a prayer partner, someone to pray with you. And we have the phone list of the people in the church. We're trying to constantly sort of update that directory. But you have someone you can call to pray for. Everyone has a friend here that you can call on, someone you trust to pray. That's a good thing. But most importantly, rely on God's strength. It's easy to rely on the strength of a friend. Friends do help a lot. Friends are invaluable, priceless. But our greatest strength comes from God, because He's stronger than all, and He can impart His strength to you. A friend, sometimes friends only have so much strength. Friends are in the same boat we're in, right? You call them up to be encouraged and they're having a bad day. Oh, maybe I'll call back tomorrow. It's never a bad day to call on God. His strength always waiting to be imparted to us. And you find that strength in prayer and in Bible reading and in fellowship with the saints. And we gain strength here from each other. We are weak, but He is strong. So rely on God's strength. And then don't worry about the year ahead. You know, the uncertainties. And like I was discussing in Bible college, I just wanted to know something of what was out there. Wanted to maybe get excited about something and just couldn't find anything to get excited about. Well, once again, we only have today. Yes, the whole year's ahead of us, but we don't know how much of it we'll actually see. We only have today. But we don't want to worry about the year ahead. Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow, that tomorrow has enough worry for itself. Trust the Heavenly Father who knows what you need. He's your God and provider. He will look after you and take care of you. Jesus said to seek ye first the kingdom of God, then He will add all these things unto you. He'll give you some of your little things on your little wish list. But as long as you're seeking to fulfill His wish list, you know, ticking off the things He wants you to do, He'll start ticking off some of the things you want. It's a reciprocal relationship with a friend, with a family member, with God. It's reciprocal. We expect much of God. He expects much of us, doesn't He? Be optimistic. There's no limit to what God can do in your life, and nothing is impossible with Him. He says that in the Old Testament, it's repeated in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah says, is anything too hard for the Lord, for Yahweh, not for the one true God? He opens doors that no man can shut, and He closes doors that no man can open. With God, the possibilities are endless when you live according to His will. So don't become discouraged with occasional failures. You know, we try to set goals for ourselves to accomplish in the year. And if little Reuben's ever going to learn how to run, he's first got to learn how to walk. And there's going to be failures, falls along the way. But that's because he's human. We're going to fall in our attempts to go down the path, the right path. Because it's not easy. We're human, we'll fail. But we can allow the failures to motivate us, not to keep repeating the painful process. And so we can learn from our failures. Then keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Wouldn't that be about the most important thing you could possibly bring out of this, these ways to help you succeed? Just fix your eyes on Him. There's a phrase, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it says, look unto me and be ye saved. So salvation begins with looking at Jesus, and your whole continued walk with Him is a look. It's an upward look. Looking for His second return and just always looking to Him. Keep your eyes fixed on Him, and He will give you rest. He'll give you peace. He's the Prince of Peace, loves you and cares for you. So when we keep our eyes on Him, what a great outlook, you know. But if you look at your friend, how they're not always what you want them to be to help you, they're not as strong enough, or they can't help you accomplish your goal, God wants us looking to Him. He doesn't want us trusting in ourselves, or He wants us in other things. He wants that full trust and strength to be fastened on Him. Now, you have to be willing to let go and let God for this to happen. Let go and let God. I think we've all heard that phrase. God really can't help you if you're holding on to something else that's a hindrance. But let go of your inhibitions and your hesitations to trust God. It really is all about trust. And let God work in you and through you as you continue to grow in your relationship with Him. We want to grow in our knowledge of Him, but it's more than that through Bible reading. If you want to experience God, you've got to let go of everything that you're familiar with, because a walk with God is always in the unfamiliar. Think of it. God's unfamiliar. Who really even knows anything about it? But so if we're going to know Him more, He is going to draw us out of our familiar circumstances. Once again, for the third and fourth illustration of the message, the Lewises. and how they were drawn out of something, out of the ordinary circumstances. They would have never driven down that road in a million years if it was their choice, but it was God's choice, and they had to trust it and go down an unfamiliar road. They let go and let God. They could have easily used a cell phone and said, we're just staying right here. We'll let friend or neighbor come pick us up or whatever. But they just drove into the next nearest town and trusted God. And look how they experienced Him. So we have to let go in order to let God do some of the things He wants to do through us. And you know, there's an old saying, a philosophy, most of you are familiar with this. You know, if a little baby or a kid has got hold of something that he likes, it could be nothing that really of value, but it's theirs, and they've got this death grip on it. How do you get them to let go of it? You show them something better. And boop, it just falls out of their hand, because all they see is what you've got. And that's the way it is with God. And through prayer and through looking at what God could do with you, it might help you in letting go. Is to see, if you really want to experience God, you have to be able to go down the path that He wants to take you down, to experience not only those things He has for you, but to experience Him. So you need to pray for God that He would mold you and make you pliable in the potter's hand. We have that picture in the book of Romans. So that prayer and Bible reading really does soften the heart and make us moldable. Anybody that you can get in their hands a Bible, and when they begin to open that, all things will change. It's just incredible thing. No wonder Islamic nations and communist nations ban the Bible and keep that out. That it changes people dramatically. Finally, start out the new year with a fresh point of view. It's easy for us to keep the same old point of view, to keep our same philosophies that we are, you know, become our favorites. But we need to have a fresh point of view. And the Bible gives us that fresh point of view every time you open it. Because it's not our view, it's God's view. And it gives us something to adopt, something else to adhere to. To start out the year with a fresh point of view, to new experiences, new memories, new blessings. Have an open mind, an open heart to whatever the Lord would do with you, wherever He will take you, and have full assurance and confidence that He is with you. See, that's the one deciding factor is we feel like we're on our own. One of the last things Jesus said to His disciples, Matthew 28:20, was, "Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." And there's a different meaning between always and alway. And all way means all the way. Always means at all times, but all the way. He's with you all the way, every step of the way. And He said, "Even I'm with you even unto the end of the world." So here we are, the first day of the year, and we've had our end of the world message. Okay? That's my end of the world message. 21-12, December's already come and gone. But this is our end of the world message. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And the Greek word means age. It means no matter what length of time, whether you live 10 years, 100 years, I am with you. And He means all these generations. Just as He was with the disciples, He will be with you. And you can count on that. We have this promise, Matthew 28:20. He's with you. So you can give thanks to the Lord for His love and assurance, and that He's there for you. So you can have confidence to do what you need to do. And isn't that great that He's given us that promise? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's that inward abiding. But as well, He says He's with us as we go out with the gospel, as we go out with His plan. But we'll stand now, and we want to look forward to what He has in store for us this new year. He's faithful and worthy to be worshipped and praised each and every day of our life. And today we can determine in prayer to keep making our spiritual circuit, whatever that may be. God will give you staying power and bring victory after victory, even in the darkest hour. Stay determined this year, from year to year, particularly all the way through 2013. Be determined all the way through to read your Bible and to read it through, to pray every day and to be sure to pray through, to expect from the Lord a victory, that is, a breakthrough, to live for Him through and through, to love Him through and through, and all the shadows that lie ahead this year with Him to walk through. And remember that God is not through with you. That's my favorite part. God's not through with me. And I'm so glad. Because I would be miserable if God stopped working on me where I'm at right now. He's still working on you. He's not through with you. He's still working on you. And Paul said, be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will continue performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You're still working on us. Thank You, Father, that You're not through with us. None of us are what we were before we got saved, but we're not what we ought to be. And we praise You that we're not what we are when we get our new bodies. How glorious that will be. So, Father, we thank You for all the changes You brought us through. Maybe the first day we got saved was at an early childhood. Maybe it was 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. But we thank You that You continually work on us to shape us and mold us into the image of Your dear Son. And we thank You, Lord, that You desire this work in us day by day. But it's us that need to be attentive, that You're trying to help us and to work on us and fashion us into the new creation that You designed us to be. We're not supposed to be a little bit better than what we were before we were born again. We're supposed to be a whole lot better. But we cannot make one single improvement, Lord. It's only what You, through Your Word and through Your Spirit, do through us as we give way, as we simply yield to the workings of Your Word and the workings of Your Spirit in us. Lord, help us to be that yielded people, letting You and allowing You to do all that You want in our lives, Lord. It's not easy for us to let go. We find a great security and strength and comfort in the hanging on to certain things, particularly control of our lives, but that hinders You from doing all that You want to do. Give us great strength, courage, and confidence this year to speak to people of the gospel, Lord, as we go about our year, and to do many other things for self-improvement and helping others to come to know You and walk with You and cherish You and love You. We know the hour is late, the day is short. Jesus is coming. Help us, Lord, to be as productive as we ought to be this year in our personal lives and in our public ministries, Lord, in sharing the gospel with those that are in need. We thank You and love You for all that You've done for us and for all that You're going to do through us this year. And we just pray, Lord, help us be attentive to Your will and ways and Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Closing hymn of the service is number 43.